approving an allow for city council to extend Gansett allow, change the reading, and also add a date of the bill, less than a date, move the deputy attorney for the act.
May it please the court.
Wait just a minute, so everyone gets seated. All right, you may proceed.
Thank you. May it please the court, my name is Josh David. I represent the appellants, Sheree Ganesh LLC and Robert Zatella. This case, in our view, is about whether the city of Hampton must follow its own ordinances as those ordinances are actually written. As that's the case, I want to start with our second assignment of error, which relates to 5-113 of Hampton Zoning Ordinance. All parties agree that this assignment of error relates to an issue of law that this court reviews de novo. We believe this issue is very simple. If you look at this 5-113, it says that accessory buildings, structures, and uses are permitted, and it then has a caveat. It says, provided you cannot build an accessory building until construction of the main building has commenced, and you cannot use an accessory building until the main building is complete.
Counsel, if we agree with your argument on assignment of error 2, then we would reverse and simply enter final judgment, would we not?
Yes, I would. I think if you agree with us on anything, you would reverse and enter a final judgment that our clients are entitled to this permit.
Okay. Explain why your opposing counsel's interpretation or the city's interpretation of Masterson is incorrect in your view.
Well, I don't know that they've interpreted Masterson. What they say about Masterson, which is absolutely right, is what it says, which is if you have a consistent interpretation by the official charged with interpreting the ordinance, then it's entitled to weight. So the first problem is there is nothing in the record that this zoning administrator has consistently applied this portion of the record. If you look at the brief where the city talks about Masterson, they don't cite anything in the record on that argument. In fact, what they say, they try to shift the burden onto our clients, and they say that we haven't shown that the zoning administrator has not been consistent. And if you look at the record, there is nothing in the record that the zoning administrator has consistently applied 5113. I mean, nothing in the record that he's done the same thing a single time. So there is absolutely no record of consistency. And in the absence of consistency, his interpretation, if you even call it that, because there really is no record of an interpretation, just of his conclusion. But his interpretation, if there is one, is not entitled to any deference because there is no record. If there's any record, our client testified at trial that there are two structures on the beach near his property that are inconsistent with the determination in this case.
And if, in fact, if there was a consistent interpretation, but it was an incorrect interpretation of the plain language of a statute, would that consistency be entitled to deference?
Absolutely not. So that's where I was going next, Your Honor. That is critically important. The court has said, the case we cited is Board of Zoning Appeals versus 852 LLC, but that didn't originate this principle. It went back, and it's been said in a number of cases. When an ordinance is plain and unambiguous, there was no room for interpretation or construction. The plain meaning and intent of the ordinance must be given. And that same case goes on to say, as others have, if the administrative interpretation of a portion of an ordinance is so at odds with the plain language used in the ordinance as a whole, such interpretation is plainly wrong and must be reversed. So the suggestion for a question is absolutely right. If you say green means red, my interpretation is green means red, no, green doesn't mean red. You don't win, and it doesn't matter if you've said green means red 100 times. And structure doesn't mean building. In this case, in this ordinance, as the ordinance existed at this time, because if you look at the brief, the city says, well, before the period of time, the ordinance said such and so. And after the period of time, it said such and so. But we think I don't think this is a very great insight that the case needs to be judged on what the ordinance said at the time that this was going on. And at the time this was going on, these definitions, the only things that are defined are accessory structure, so that has a meaning, and then building. Building is defined. Building is it has to have a roof supported by column walls, and it's used for shelter of something. So this thing that my client is proposing to build, which you understand is just it's 15 posts in the sand. That's all it is. It can't possibly be a building. And in the absence of a definition, because they argue, well, accessory building used to be defined, but it's not defined anymore. That's fine. And what this court has said, again, just a very common principle, is that in the absence of a definition, you give the words their plain meaning. And an accessory building, plain meaning, is a subset of building. An accessory building must be some kind of building, a building that is accessory. A building has columns and walls and a roof. This cannot be an accessory building. And then you go back to the statute, and it's just very simple what it says. You can it's permitted, accessory building, accessory structure and use, but you can't have an accessory building until you've started on the main building, and you can't use it until you complete the main building. So it says building structures and uses, and then it says building. So it just seems that Hampton, they're just misreading the ordinance, and that in the zoning administrator's letter, when he wrote his letter, and that's really the only opinion in this case. He writes a letter. It's very short. I believe it's on page 44 of the record. It's a one-pager. It goes to the BZA hearing. That hearing is a bunch of citizen comment of all sorts of off-point comments. Then they say, let's call for a vote. We affirm. We go to court. We try this case in court. The judge takes it under advisement. He sends his opinion letter. It says, error, you say error, what, number one, denied, number two, denied, number three, denied. That's the whole opinion of the court. We actually went back to court, entering the order, because the city submitted an order that added some things, and the judge says, no, we're going to use our firm's order, which just says one denied, two denied, three denied. So we go back to the zoning administrator. That's the only really written decision of anything in this case, and he simply misquotes or misparaphrases the ordinance. He says, quote, an accessory building or structure or use is permitted in the RM zoning district, that part's correct, provided that it is not constructed prior to commencement of construction of the main building. Well, that's just not what it says. It doesn't say provided that the accessory building or structure or use is not constructed prior to. It just says building. That's all it says. So Hampton says the statute means you can't have building structure or use, but that's just not what it says. And they really have no answer to that. Their answer to that is look at definitions that aren't in the statute, that something's not defined, but you give it its plain meaning and you get to our conclusion. That's it. So we submit that the ordinance is clear and unambiguous, and it just has to be given the meaning that it has. In Masterson, for example, at trial, the Virginia Beach zoning administrator came to trial. The zoning administrator said, I've been interpreting this statute since, I think, 1972, and this was sometime in the 80s. And it's been given a consistent interpretation that entire time, for over a decade. And so the court says, we have to give deference to that opinion, and clearly they didn't find that the zoning administrator's determination in that case was manifestly contrary to the language of the statute. Here, the city put on no evidence at trial. Mr. Shapiro never testified. He did not testify at trial. He made some comments at the BZA hearing, but he didn't say anything about this point at the BZA hearing. And so at the end, they say, we'll shift the burden to you. You prove that he has not been consistent. But we don't have that burden. Nothing puts that burden, certainly not Masterson, doesn't put that burden on the citizen to prove a lack of consistency. But we think that determination is plainly wrong. The other assignment error I'd like to discuss briefly with you is a very similar straightforward argument. Now, I talked about 5-113. Our contention is that section, in fact, is not the controlling section. So as you said, Your Honor, if you decide that point, the case goes back and is reversed. We think there's a previous argument that needs to be looked at. And that is, if you assume, as the zoning administrator determined, that this thing that my clients wanted to build is a fence, there's a specific section of the zoning ordinance about fences. It's section 9.8. This is about our zoning district, or the zoning district of this property. Section 9.8 says, fences shall be permitted as provided in Chapter 18 hereof. Now, that's not just an excerpt from that section. That's the whole section. Fences shall be permitted as provided in Chapter 18 hereof. That's it. And it has the mandatory language shall, obviously. You go to Chapter 18, and that provides some height restrictions. We're within the height restrictions. That's not an issue. That was not a basis for denial. So that's it. It says you get a fence in the RM zoning district. We're in the RM zoning district. We want to have a fence. And the zoning administrator wouldn't let us have a fence. And the city responds to that, and they go through this whole sort of soliloquy in their brief. They say that to reach his determination, the zoning administrator first looked at Chapter 9 of the zoning ordinance in the absence of any specific language in 18-9 regarding when fences may be constructed. That's the section with the height requirements. The zoning administrator looked at the general provisions of the zoning ordinance regarding accessory structures and buildings found in Section 5-113 to conclude that fences are prohibited on property where there's no main building. The problem with that argument is there is no testimony or evidence whatsoever in the record that the zoning administrator went through that process or that the zoning administrator ever looked at the portion of the ordinance related to fences. Again, the only thing in the record and the only thing the city cites to is the zoning administration's letter, and that letter doesn't say anything about Section 9.8 dealing with fences. They go to the same argument before, consistently applied, Masterson, but again, there is no evidence of consistent application. In this part of their brief, talking about this section with fences, they cite to page 91 of the record. That is in their answer. They cite to a line of their answer. But first, their answer is in evidence, and second, their paragraph, the answer that they're referring to, doesn't say there's been a consistent determination. It says there was at least one prior determination, period. Doesn't say anything about a consistent determination. Doesn't say anything about similar circumstances.
Counsel, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
And I may probably just missing some connection in the zoning ordinances. I know that the court and the zoning administrator relied on 5-1.13 to reach the decision here, and I understand completely your argument as to why that doesn't apply. But what tells me that 5-1.13 applies in the RM district?
Okay, so you have to, and most of these zoning ordinances I've seen are written these ways. It says, so RM says you could do anything that you can do in the R8 district. And so you go to the section about R8. It says you can do anything you can do in the R11 district, plus, you know, these things. You have to go back to R11. R11 says you can do anything you can do in the R13 district. The R13 district is Section 5.
So that's how we get
to that. That's how you get to that.
Okay.
So everyone agrees you just have to, you follow the chain backwards.
All right, thank you.
And that's how you get to it. The fence section happens to be actually in the RM zoning district, so that one's directly in ours.
Right.
You don't have to go back in the chain.
But
either way, it's clearly applicable to this zoning district. So it's the same thing here. We think they're plainly wrong. Whether there is a consistent interpretation or not, which there is not in the record, but whether there is or not, they're plainly wrong, and they need to be reversed. As to our third assignment of the error, I would rely on our brief. I'd like to reserve my remaining time for rebuttal.
All right, thank you.
Good morning.
Hi.
May it please the court, Lisa Yates on behalf of Appalese, the City of Hampton, and the City Council for the City of Hampton.
Counsel, would you address assignment of error 2 first as the opposing counsel?
Sure. And
it seems that if it's reversed on that, it seems that the case is over.
And that is whether the court correctly affirmed the determination that section permitted the appellant structure.
Yeah, structure versus building under your zoning.
That particular section, Your Honor, I would submit is controlling in the RM district throughout all the residential districts for that matter. And I don't believe that the court can look at this case in isolation because I do believe with regard to zoning ordinances, it takes the zoning administrator to interpret many of the different sections that are required. One of those is this more general section, 5-113, which talks about accessory structures and accessory buildings. And I do think it is relevant, and I do think it is important that the history of that particular section be taken into account to understand the zoning administrator's interpretation of it in 2011 when this matter was, when the determination was requested by the appellant. Prior to August 11th of 2010, the code section read as it does at this point when the appellant requests the determination, with the exception that there was a definition defining accessory building as a building or structure. And that is significant because August 11th of 2010, definitions were changed, and the definition for accessory building was changed, was deleted. So, and I would submit that the zoning administrator, in making the determination that he did for this appellant, was attempting to reconcile that issue. And I think that under the Masterson case, that is the zoning administrator's responsibility to reconcile issues of where legislative intent is clear, and I think it is clear if we go on fast forward to December of 2012 when the City Council for the City of Hampton then goes back to the definition, back to the wording that previously existed.
We only look at intent if there's an ambiguity. Where is the ambiguity in the current zoning code?
I think the ambiguity, Your Honor, that existed at the time that the determination was issued for the appellants was there was no definition of accessory building. There was a definition of accessory structure. There was a definition of building. And I would submit that appellant substitutes their impression or interpretation of what accessory building is, but the zoning code did not contain a definition. So it is the responsibility of the zoning administrator, and under the reasoning of the Masterson case, to try to reconcile any sort of ambiguity and to do so consistently. I think that
The zoning administrator reached back to a definition that was no longer in the code?
A definition of accessory building, yes.
And if, in fact, that created an ambiguity, the fact that there was no definition, the fact that a legislature would have a definition and would take that definition out can only be evidence of a legislative intention that that definition no longer be used.
I would agree with you in most cases, except in this particular situation, that definition and the term accessory building was repeated throughout the zoning code to mean accessory building or structure. So in deleting just the definition, it created issues that were irreconcilable. And I am not going to tell this court that for that 18-month period that was a perfect situation or that was a good situation. But I would submit that this case is an anomaly and limited to that period of time, almost 18 months, that definition did not exist, where there would have been inconsistent application of the city ordinance were it not for the zoning administrator's consistent interpretation.
But it's my recollection from reading through this that even as the word is defined now, this structure would not be considered to be a building.
It would not be considered to be, accessory structure is an accessory structure or accessory building. I think it would come under structure and would be, it would not be permitted today. There's no building on the property.
But my recollection is that the new definition of accessory building does not include structure.
Your Honor, on December, and this is in the footnote on page 6 of my brief, on December 14th of 2012, the definition of accessory structure which existed in the code in Chapter 2.1 was amended by City Council to read accessory building or structure means a subordinate building or structure clearly incidental to, related to, and customarily associated with the principal building or structure located on the same lot.
Right. But it's not defining building to be the same as structure. And in your statute, it only prohibits buildings.
Your Honor, that was the section that was changed. I'm sorry. So the definition is changed to say building or structure, and the code section, and I believe there was a letter regarding, and I don't know what ended up in the appendix, but there, if the court is looking at the online version of the code, there was a letter that was sent to the clerk of your court. Regarding a clerical error that was made and a correction that had to be made with the Municode Corporation.
You're not saying that there was any change to 5-1.13, are you?
Just the definition and what accessory building or accessory structure means.
Okay.
In the code. So I would submit that the court correctly affirmed the determination that this section applied and prohibited appellant structure as a fence, as an accessory structure, and frankly, to answer your question, pursuant to consistent interpretation of the previously existing definitions and what turned out to be 18 months later, another not even an interpretation, the change in the language of the code. I think that, again, Masterson indicates that this court has found that maintaining there is a governmental interest in maintaining uniformity of land use laws. This would be to accept the appellant's interpretation of what accessory build that 5-1.13 is limited to accessory buildings without there being a definition of accessory building, and also to not uphold the interpretation of the zoning administrator, I think would result in a inconsistent application of the zoning ordinance. Perhaps I've not answered your question to your satisfaction, but that would
be the best you got. Huh? Understood.
That's it. And additionally, I would go back to the issue of the moving beyond. Then, if there are any more questions about 5-1.13, it is limited to the zoning ordinance creature that. Much of the law is interpretation, and I would submit that the zoning administrator in this particular case did that correctly. It was a written determination. It did not walk through every step that the zoning administrator took, but I believe that the determination reflects those steps that were taken and that they were taken and applied fairly. There is no definition of fence in the zoning ordinance. There still is not a definition of fence. However, I think the zoning administrator concluded that this was a fence. A fence is a subset of the generic term accessory structure. I think his reasoning there, the trial court found that to be found that to be correct and upheld his reasoning as far as that is concerned. And I would submit that in order for there to be a accessory structure, there needs to be a main use. What is the main use of a residential piece of property? Well, that would be residential use. What we're talking about in this particular situation is a piece of property, residential piece of property, where there is no building or structure for residential use. There's nothing. It is sand. So, Your Honors, to conclude, if there aren't any further questions, I think the court correctly affirmed the determination. All three assignments of error, in those cases, correctly affirmed the zoning administrator's determination that that the structure was an accessory structure, fence was an accessory structure, and that it was prohibited by 5-113 of the zoning code.
All right, thank you.
Very briefly, and hopefully not repeating myself too much, the zoning administrator just didn't make these interpretations she's referring to. He didn't interpret anything about fences, and he didn't say a word about this definition used to be in there, or some, this was later. As far as his definitions, before this case existed, there was a definition of accessory building, and it was a very ambiguous definition. It said building means building or structure, which then makes the ordinance read, you can have a building or structure. So it's horribly ambiguous. So they take that definition out. And clearly, as one of the comments was, when it's out, it's out. And the only conclusion we can reach from it being out is that it's supposed to be out. And then they put in its place, it's not just an oversight, they put in a definition of accessory structure. That says exactly what you would think it would say. And we have, if anything, an accessory structure. And then after the fact, as Justice Goodwin pointed out, they put in a definition of building or structure. And not surprisingly, the definition of building or structure includes a building or a structure. But that doesn't make a building a structure. It means building or structure includes both building and structure. This is obvious. If the City Council of Hampton wanted to change this, they could fix this ordinance like this, and the 5-113. They could make it say an accessory building structure or use, including da-da-da. You can have that provided no accessory building structure or use can be constructed on a lot until construction of the main building, and no accessory building structure or use can be used until it's completed. It doesn't say that, and it doesn't mean that. Unless there are other questions, thank you.
Thank you. The court will be adjourned until tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock.